Quest Oracle Community proudly presents the PeopleSoft Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production. Hosted by PeopleSoft users Stephen Valentine, Senior Director of Quality Assurance at the Milton Hershey School, and Brooke Repine, a PeopleSoft Business Systems Analyst with Samaritan's Purse. This podcast explores and showcases how PeopleSoft customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success. Welcome to episode 6 of the PeopleSoft Podcast Connection with hosts Stephen Valentine and Brooke Repine. We're here to explore PeopleSoft innovations, success stories, and encourage you along your PeopleSoft journey. It's the month of November, Gratitude Month, and Stephen and I are so grateful for the PeopleSoft product that is working behind the scenes for our mission-driven organizations that serve communities. Samaritan's Purse mission is to provide spiritual and physical aid to people in need around the world in the name of Jesus. And during the month of November, shoebox packing and collections are occurring for Operation Christmas Child. And this is where we provide gift-filled shoeboxes to demonstrate God's love in a tangible way to children in need around the world and share the good news of Jesus Christ. So I'm so grateful for all of those who are giving away from themselves to bless others.
Yes, and the Milton Hershey School's mission is to nurture and educate children in social and financial need to help them reach their full potential as healthy, productive, and responsible adults. We're grateful for all of our house parents, the dedicated caregivers who create a safe, loving home for every student. They really, truly are here for the mission of the school.
We're also super grateful for the PeopleSoft community members who've been sharing their expertise with us here on the podcast and the Oracle product strategy experts. Today, we're thankful and super excited to have another expert with us, Tina Thames, Director of PeopleSoft Asset Lifecycle Management Product Strategy. Welcome, Tina.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Excited to be chatting with you today. Can you start us off by telling us a little bit about your personal PeopleSoft journey and the products you support at Oracle?
Certainly. I started working in PeopleSoft in 1999 on version 7.5, where I was the lead for a 1.8 million asset conversion for asset management and also later implemented lease administration and maintenance management. I've been a consultant for 20 years. I traveled around the United States and worked in various industries implementing asset management and the other ALM products. About 3 years ago, I actually reached what I consider the fulfillment of my career by working for Oracle and actually being the product strategist for asset lifecycle management. I feel like this has been the culmination of my career and that I can use all of that experience that I had in the field and with various customers and industries to help decide what goes into asset management for our customers.
Thanks, Tina. That's really exciting. So this year has been an exciting year for assets with the release of QR codes and mobile inventory functionality for asset tracking. So can you tell us a little bit about this super cool improvement?
When I started at PeopleSoft, one of my main goals was to come up with a solution for creating physical inventories without having to purchase third-party software or third-party scanning devices. Over my career, I had seen several companies that didn't implement physical inventories merely because they didn't want to make the investment in the third-party hardware and software. So I went to my developers and I said, let's see if we can come up with a solution that would work on the native cameras for either a tablet or an iPhone or any kind of phone, actually Android or iOS. And be able to use the native camera without having an app on it. So we didn't want to have to install anything on the phone to make it work. We wanted to be able to just open the camera on the app and take a picture of a QR code or a barcode and have that go directly into PeopleSoft. So the developers found the right snippet of code that we needed. We licensed that code and added it to PeopleSoft, and it became part of our solution. The second part of the asset solution is that you're able to produce the QR or barcodes for your assets in the system directly. So prior to this, you were having to independently assign tag numbers and print those tag numbers in another either software or application where you could generate the tag numbers and then print them and then affix them to the assets. So now we actually have a page within PeopleSoft where you go and you select and search for the assets that you want to tag. You indicate whether you want them to have barcodes or if you want them to have QR codes. And then you can adjust the size of those QR and barcodes for when they print out, like what size they look like. And then you print them out and then you can affix them to your assets. Now, we do recognize that the file that we create is it's like a PDF document, and that you may need to adjust things on that to print either on your pre-fabricated labels or on whatever labels that you purchase to put on your assets. But we've tried to come up with a very simple format so that if you just need to print those on a page with stickers or whatever, that it'll fit on there.
Wow, that's really cool. So I can take my phone, log into PeopleSoft, right? Mm-hmm. And then I can walk into a room and I can scan each item that's in my room, my desk, my chair, anything that has a barcode and actually has an asset record in the system. And then what can I do with that?
First of all, you can scan it for physical inventory. So that's going to tell you like what the location is, the description of the asset, basically the tag, serial number, everything that's on it. And then you can update it right there on your screen, right there on your tablet or your phone. So if it's in a different location than you anticipated, or if it needs to go to a different department, you can make those updates on your mobile device. And then whenever you sync that back to PeopleSoft, that information gets updated when you run the physical inventory processes. The second thing that you can do, and we kind of think of this more maybe towards maintenance management, is that if I'm in a room and let's say that I'm working on a piece of equipment and I just completed making a repair and I see that there's another piece of equipment sitting there that's making a funny noise or something, I can scan that asset and it'll bring up the work order and the preventive maintenance schedules. So you can see if it's up for service like within the next month or so, or if it has an outstanding work order. And of course, with the mobile technician functionality, you can create a work order for it right there if you need to.
I really love the idea of being able to go through and go into a room and being able to inventory everything that's in that room and making sure that it's there, because assets are a really important part of an organization and keeping track of assets is also really important. Making sure that we have them, making sure that they're disposed of properly. How many times does an asset walk away and it's gone or it gets thrown away, but it's still in the system and it's still part of our assets. It's part of our balance sheet, and making sure that's cleaned up is really important.
And I really appreciate the thought behind this, where you want to give customers the ability to not have to purchase a third-party system for this. And we're using a device we already have for this process. So I really appreciate that about this functionality that you're describing.
That was the main two goals when we started down this path, was that you wouldn't have to purchase anything in order to make it work.
And really what I think is exciting about this is you could give access to individual departments to scan their own assets in their offices and upload it to make the change to location, couldn't you?
Absolutely. So whenever you are doing your physical inventory, you actually define the physical inventory occurrence. So it's the PIID. So what you could do is create your physical inventory IDs by department or by location. Probably location would be best if you're wanting to give it to a certain individual and have them, say, scan the items in their office. Then they simply enter that physical inventory ID, scan their assets, and save it. And then on your end, once they scan them and save them, then you can run the process to compare it to the assets that PeopleSoft thinks are in the location. And that's when it will create any transfers that it needs to do or retirements if it doesn't find the asset, et cetera.
So when the individual, let's say I'm in my office and I'm scanning all of my assets, do I enter the location that it's at?
What's happening is when you define that physical inventory occurrence, it knows what location that you're scanning for. And so you'll scan the asset and the location will come up. And if it's not the location that you anticipated, then you can update the location right there on the screen. And what that'll do is provide a non-financial transfer from one location to another location for you.
So we can create the individual department location. So someone goes in and scans it in their office. And when they scan it and it's not in their office, they just say that it is. And then we uploaded it and it moves it, right?
Correct.
That's really exciting. What I love about that is it takes away the burden of, say, someone in a finance department to go and physically track all the assets. And we can push that out to all the individual departments. And it's a whole lot less of a burden for one person to just scan their own office rather than one person scanning the entire organization. So that is a really cool feature, I think.
Yeah, I think that's definitely going to be helpful to a lot of organizations.
So this came out in January, PUM 53. So if someone's interested in implementing this, would you have any recommendations on where they could start?
I would start by organizing your assets, printing out the tags for them, and just tagging area by area your assets. We recognize that you can't go from zero to 100 right away. If you're not performing physical inventories, if you don't have tags on your assets, then you're going to have to start slowly. A lot of times what we see in most organizations is computer equipment. We see a lot of computer equipment that's tagged because we not only care like what department that's in, but usually we care like who's the custodian of that asset. So a lot of times we see that as being a starting point is like your laptops or servers or any type of computer equipment that you might be tracking. The other thing is to go after your high value assets. So if you have machinery and equipment or if you have vehicles that you're tracking, that's another great place to start. Just being able to go out and identify by VIN number and then affix a tag to an asset, then you'll be able to scan those in the future. When you think about it, if somebody comes in with their vehicle because the engine's making a funny sound, the maintenance technician can right away scan it, look at it, see that it's due for a 50,000 mile inspection or whatever, that they can go ahead and perform that service and then look into what the issue is with the asset. From a best practice perspective, I recommend that people perform a physical inventory annually. It doesn't mean that they have to shut down their business and do all the inventory at one time. You could actually set up a schedule and say, okay, well, I'm going to inventory certain areas at this time or certain types of equipment at this time of year. But you do want to come up with not only a schedule for that inventory, but you want to put together a process for that and document your process and everything. It's just a good accounting practice to perform a physical inventory annually.
And it sounds like this is a solution that Oracle is providing for PeopleSoft customers to start doing physical inventory using the product they already have without any extra costs.
Exactly. We wanted to put something in their hands that was available, that there was no extra expense related to it. It's just a learning curve of being able to perform the physical inventory process, which is actually in a very easy to use activity guide. Once you create your physical inventory occurrence ID, there is a step-by-step process. Like one, it says to generate the scan. Step two is you upload your scan, which you don't have to upload anymore. Used to, you'd had to upload that from a third party. And so you had to write a custom interface for it. But now that upload process is actually done automatically. And then the third step is you generate the transactions, which looks out there and sees if you had to change locations, departments. You can update the descriptions if you need to. Almost any of the non-financial information that's in the basic ad is within that inventory page when you scan your asset. So anything like custodial, department, et cetera. You can update all those fields, and then when you run this transaction process, it automatically generates the transactions to update the assets.
And I'm hearing the same theme from you that we've heard in the past, where just start small, pick one area to start with, like you said, maybe the high value assets, but just start small, start somewhere, and then you'll be able to grow within this functionality within your organization as you start to use it and get more accustomed to it and see the benefits of it.
Yeah, definitely.
So if I'm implementing PeopleSoft and I have some suggestions on how to make changes, I'd like to really think about another feature that Oracle's provided, which is the idea space. So as we're using products and we have ideas, we have needs, we can actually go out on the idea space and make a recommendation or request on an enhancement. So once we do that, can you talk a little bit about what happens on your side? I know that we have to have companies vote for it. And no matter how many people in one company vote for it, that counts as one company vote. But as many different companies vote for it, eventually it actually becomes something I think that you guys look at.
Yeah. So just a little bit about the strategy process. We work on our roadmaps in 4-month increments. So we're releasing a new PUM image every 4 months. So 3 times a year, we go through a roadmap process where we decide what we're going to add in the next PUM images. And we plan about 15 months at a time. What we're doing is we're going in and we're trying to figure out what is it that we want to add to the system. There are strategic things that we need to add. So if we're coming up with new functionality, then we have to adopt those strategic initiatives. If there's been any new tax regulations or updates, obviously we have to update those. But then we have this other bucket of just customer satisfaction where we're trying to add ideas from our customers. And so we get those ideas from various places, but the number one spot that we get them from is from Ideaspace. And just to let you know from a statistical perspective, how many ideas are getting into the system, for ALM for the last year, so for the last 3 images, 61% of the new functionality that was added to the system came directly from Ideaspace. And so whenever we sit down to do our roadmaps, we run a report out of Ideaspace. We sort it by module, and then we sort it by unique votes. And whatever flows to the top of that is what we're targeting to be the new functionality. And it's important to note, you know, you might go into an AP idea or an expenses idea. You can see the votes on those when you go into the idea, and you might see that it has 20-something votes or 30-something votes. That's a lot of votes. You know, it's probably going to fall to the top of the list. But then you might go over to lease admin, or you might go over to asset management or maintenance, and you see that something only has 6 votes. Well, don't be discouraged. 6 votes for AM, because not as many people use the product, is a lot of votes. Right now, I'm looking at anything that has 4 or more votes. So if you can vote for something and you know somebody at another organization, or you attend Quest SIG calls for asset management, you can promote your idea and ask for other people to vote for it. And it doesn't take that many votes to get into the system.
I appreciate the fact that Oracle gives PeopleSoft customers the ability to speak into the product and the future development through this idea space. So thanks for mentioning that, Stephen, and thanks for giving us more insight, Tina. I think that's really important. You also mentioned the PeopleSoft Asset SIG group. That's a great resource. Do you want to talk a little bit about that special interest group for PeopleSoft assets?
Certainly. Quest has put together special interest groups for a lot of the different products. One of those is asset lifecycle management. So that includes the products, the asset management, lease administration, and maintenance management. And although this group has been somewhat active in the last several years, at least since I've been on board at PeopleSoft, it's been renewed, revamped, and reinstated almost, I would say. And we are having meetings once a month, and they've been very useful. Not only are the SIG groups great for the strategists to maybe come on board and give you new information about functionality, whether it's new bonus codes that are coming out or new functionality that's been added to the system. But it's also a forum for you to meet with your co-partners or other people that are using the system if you're having issues. Because one of the things that, as a consultant, I used to would have an issue and like, who am I going to ask? If I don't ask PeopleSoft, who am I going to ask? And this group is like, okay, well, I'm going to ask a group of 10 other people that work at 10 other companies that are using the same product, and they probably have experienced this issue before, or they may have some really good ideas about how to approach the issue. And so that's why the SIG groups are so important, because it's being able to work with people that are using the same application that you're using.
Thanks, Tina. That's a really great explanation. And I'll put in a plug. So the Asset Lifecycle Management SIG group meets the second Monday of every month at 3:00 Eastern Time. And I'm actually one of the co-leaders. And I really appreciate that Tina takes the time out to join the group with us and listen to our users. And Joe Williver also joins the group. And we get a lot of knowledge from them. And there's really a lot of knowledge in that group. and we really do learn a lot. And we also take some time to go through the idea space ideas, to talk through them and encourage people to vote for them if they have a need or that would benefit them. So I think that's a really good way to keep some of those ideas moving. And we also have been known now in some of the groups to enter in an idea as a group, and people put their comments in there. So it's a great way to talk about functionality we need. And I really appreciate how PeopleSoft and you, Tina, really interested in continuing to improve the system and modernize the technology. And I think it's exciting that you're already looking out 15 months on what you're doing. So you kind of have an idea of what you're doing and, you know, what's going to come out in the next 15 months. And I think that's really cool. And I think it's really exciting. And it's great that we're still investing in PeopleSoft.
Yeah, one of the things I'd like to mention is that a lot of times if you attend a conference, you'll see roadmap discussions and we'll talk about what's coming in the next 15 months or so. But that information isn't proprietary. It's not a closely guarded secret. We actually have out on the PeopleSoft information portal, which is at peoplesoftinfo.com, what we call the PFE, which is Plan Features and Enhancements page. And as soon as we get our 15-month roadmap approved, we go out there and put in a little snippet of information for each enhancement that we're going to add. So if you want to know at any given time what's in the next 15 months coming up, you can go out there and look at the PFE, the Plan Features and Enhancements section of PeopleSoft Info, and see what those enhancements are going to be for all modules, HCM and FSCM.
That's a great tidbit of info. Thanks for sharing. And for listeners that aren't part of the asset special interest group and they'd like to join, the way they would do so is go to the Quest website and sign up to join those monthly meetings.
One other thing that we do to interact with our customers, other than conferences, other than IdeaSpace, are our focus groups. And the focus groups, you can also go out to peoplesoftinfo.com and look at the list of focus groups under the collaboration tab. And if you click on any of the modules, it is going to send an email to the strategist for that. So if you clicked on asset management, it would come directly to me. And it's just a request to join focus groups. I probably have anywhere from 6 to 10 focus groups a year. And what those are is based on specific topics or maybe a group of topics. I might form a focus group because I have 10 new ideas that have the same number of votes, and I want your opinion about which ones I want to implement. And so having these focus groups is just a direct connection to the customers where they can share their opinion and have a say-so about the functionality that's going into the system. The one requirement for focus groups is a customer participation confidentiality agreement, a CPCA request, where we will send you a document that has to be signed by your manager or by whoever the PeopleSoft, maybe director, what is in ever in your organization. And once they sign this agreement, then you're able to participate in focus groups. And the reason that we have that is it's a confidentiality agreement, meaning we're going to share with you future information about the product. And we ask that you not share that information publicly. It's just a small group where we're trying to figure out whether or not we're going to implement something, or if we are implementing something, the details of the enhancement. And so we just ask that you keep that information confidential.
Yeah, I really appreciate the focus groups. I've been able to join in and we get to provide input. And you actually listen to our input. I know you've listened to some of the input I provided, which is really exciting. But we get to tell you what we want and you guys listen to it. So you're really asking the users, the people in the trenches, what they need, and you're giving it to us. So it's a great opportunity for us to get what we need and use the system even better. Again, modernizing our technology, which is really cool. And I think another aspect of this whole podcast is around community. And that's where the big groups are a great community. The focus groups are a great community where you can meet other people and learn from other people. PeopleSoft's been around for 40 years, I think. And there's a lot of knowledge and there's a lot of really smart people. And I'm sensing that people almost want to share more information than people want to ask. So if you ask a question in the right group, you are going to get so much information and so much knowledge that's going to help you out. So that's really the importance of community and joining those groups within Quest.
Speaking of asking people questions, in addition to IdeaSpace, We have another forum, and technologically it looks the same. It's called a discussion forum. And when you go into the discussion forum, instead of adding a new idea, you're asking a question to the community. Let's say that you have had an issue where your assets are producing negative depreciation or just some kind of weird little thing that's occurring with your assets or leases or maintenance work orders. And you want to ask a larger group, like, have you experienced this? And if you did, well, how did you fix it? And so that's what the discussion forum is for. So we have the topics in there for all ALM modules, for all FSCM and HCM modules. And you can open a discussion topic at any time.
That's another great tidbit of information. Thank you.
Yeah, that's great discussion. I love how we've really talked about the broader ways that we can interact with people like yourself, Tina, at Oracle, and speak into the product, but then also get questions answered and have discussions around exact scenarios that we're working through. Now that Oracle has implemented this super cool QR code functionality within assets, are there other opportunities to expand to other modules with this functionality?
Yes, actually, because we have licensed the code that's responsible for updating and scanning assets on your phone on a mobile device, that functionality can be placed anywhere within the organization, within that software. And so what we're looking at is maybe mobile inventory would be a good place for that. If you are scanning the items that are in inventory, a lot of those already have codes on them. And if they don't, then now you have a way to produce those codes. I've heard mention that you might want to put QR codes on vouchers or some other piece of transactional information so that you can quickly access it as well. And so we're inviting the community to tell us where you think that QR codes or barcodes would be useful. Because we have the technology now, then let's get it out there. Let's put it in some of the other products as well.
So that's an opportunity for an idea space. If somebody has an idea on a module that they could use a barcode, then they could go out on the idea space and put an idea out there. So if I have an idea to put on the voucher, I would go out to the AP idea space and put a request on there, correct?
Absolutely. Actually, a very smart guy in one of my sessions at the Blueprint 4 conference, when we mentioned having QR codes on the assets themselves, said, well, hey, wouldn't it be a great idea to have a QR code for a location? And so that's on our roadmap right now. Let's say you walk into a room, you could actually scan a barcode or a QR label inside the room to tell you what location you're at and then look at the assets that are in that room.
Yeah, that's a really cool feature. I'm excited about that one.
Before we wrap up, do you have any last comments that you'd like to add that you haven't had a chance to share yet?
Just that I'd like to let everybody know that the strategists are very available to our customers. We thrive on our relationships with customers, and we like to think that we're very approachable when it comes to reconnecting and connecting with our customers. So whether or not you're joining focus groups or you're coming into our different conferences or whatever, the SIG groups, we ask that you reach out to us and ask us questions. Don't be afraid to just even send us an email if you need to. We are very approachable and available to your needs. And whenever you have issues, we're always willing to help you and point you in the right direction.
I would echo that. I think you are all very approachable, and I've asked several project strategist questions and get answers, and I get real answers. So I really appreciate how approachable you guys are. And I would say if anybody goes to a conference, especially one in person, try to attend one of the project strategist sessions and then go up and meet them. And, you know, after a couple conferences, you kind of get to know them better and you really see that you guys are approachable. So thank you for that.
Yeah, one of the things I'd like to mention is that we don't know what your organization is using as far as modules and functionality unless you tell us. And so sometimes we have an individual that does send out surveys every once in a while to ask what modules you're using, what version you're on. But as we implement new functionalities, we are really excited to hear whether you are implementing that new functionality. And we want to hear about it. We want to know your thoughts. How easy was it to implement? Did you have everything you needed to implement it? One of the things that we heard at the conferences last year was that we would release a new enhancement, but you had no idea how to configure and set up and start using that enhancement. So we have added new information to PeopleBooks for newer enhancements that detail step by step. This is the navigation. This is what you need to configure. These are the things that you need to consider, et cetera, et cetera. So we're putting that information into PeopleBooks. Before, it would be like in a document or a knowledge document somewhere a little bit further buried in our documentation. And so we are trying to put that up front and put it in PeopleBooks for you. But the other thing about adopting new modules, new functionality, et cetera, is that we have a series of innovator awards that we give out annually. And those are based solely on what new functionality you're adopting, what new modules you're adopting, even new technology that you're adopting. And so those awards go to individuals that could be just like we had an award for people that were implementing asset tracking functionality, and that was before the QR codes. But just the process of physical inventory and the process of tracking their assets through this asset tracking functionality. We have awards for people that have gone to OCI, so they're moving their data from on-premise to the cloud. So those are some people that get those types of awards. But what's nice is that we have a section in PeopleSoft Info where we talk about these awards and list the stories. And it's great to go out there and read those and see what other people are doing, because if you're not sure about whether or not you want to, say, move to Fluid, maybe you haven't made that move yet. We hate to hear it because we are creating so many enhancements that are Fluid specific. But if you haven't made that move yet, go out and read those innovator awards, because we have several people that didn't adopt Fluid right away that once they did, they received an award for it. And they went out there and told us a story. So you can read those stories.
Yes, Fluid's been out for 15 years. So if you haven't implemented it yet, you might want to think about it. Mm-hmm. And I would also add that using the new functionality and turning it on, it only helps us help you make it better. Because as we turn on the new functionality and we ask for more functionality, that helps make it better for other customers. So it's just kind of a big team effort.
Yeah. And if you haven't adopted Fluid and you have a very specific reason why you didn't do it or why you haven't done it, if that's an idea that we can somehow fix so that you can go to Fluid, we want to know about it. We want to know any barriers that you have to adopting functionality. Just another plug for some functionality that's been out for a while are our work centers. They were available in the classic framework, but now they're also available in Fluid. We're slowly converting all of our work centers from classic to Fluid, but we've kind of doubled down on our investment in work centers, meaning that originally it was about managing exceptions and about navigation and getting to reports. But now the work centers include a lot of different functionality. You can access the insights directly from there. You can access all of your approvals directly from the work center. And one of the newest functionalities that has come out, it's called work management. And what that is in your My Work section where you're tracking exceptions, maybe like vouchers that haven't been posted or invoices that haven't been paid. You can actually assign the individual transactions that come up in those My Works to someone. If you're working in an environment where you have multiple accountants that deal with exceptions, then they can assign it to themselves and you know that that's being worked on. It also gives you the ability to add notes to it, to set a deadline for it so that you get reminded that you haven't taken care of it yet. That's just one of the new features that we're adding to Work Centers. So if you haven't adopted them yet, we ask that you take a look at them again.
Cool. That's awesome.
Tina, thank you so much for joining us today. It's always inspiring to see how PeopleSoft continues to evolve to meet our real-world needs. We so appreciate the discussion on these exciting new QR code and scanning features. We so appreciate the discussion on all the resources and ways to interact with Oracle and speak into the PeopleSoft product, ask questions. So thank you. As we wrap up this episode, we just want to say how grateful we are also not only for you and your work, but for the PeopleSoft community, our listeners and all those who tune into the podcast. So thank you, everybody. We hope you have a great month and we'll see you next month.
Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the PeopleSoft Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/PSFTconnection. To learn more about what's happening in the Quest PeopleSoft community, visit our website, questoraclecommunity.org/PeopleSoft-community.